Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday 9th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwe's INSCO Africa director is caught up in Panama Papers, a global investigation by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. A police in Harare disrupt a planned prayer meeting for missing political activist Itai Dzamara, who was abducted 14 months ago.
The police tried to detain us, of which we refused to go, and they eventually had to resort to force.
The central bank says crippling cash shortages are expected to end in Zimbabwe next week.
What do you do with the bond coins right now? Is that you just go to the bank and get your US dollars? I think people in Zimbabwe are so intelligent. I don't know why we make ourselves so down. When you be using it every day? Go to Zambia today, Chairman. Zambia, they use kwacha.
And Zimbabweans praise boxer Charles Manyuchi for defeating a Russian to lend the World Boxing Council silver belt. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Police in Harare today disrupted a planned prayer meeting for missing political activist Itai Dzamara, who was abducted 14 months ago by suspected state security agents. Friends and relatives had gathered at Africa Unity Square, Dzamara's demonstration site, for an afternoon prayer and protest when police pounced on Patson Dzamara and took him to a local post where he was detained for 40 minutes before releasing him. He returned to the square to address the crowd when the police rearrested him together with Pastor Patrick Mugadza. The two were locked up at Harare Central Police Station and released after 3 hours without any charges laid against them. Dzamara tells Studio 7 that though they failed to go ahead with their planned demonstration today, they will gather again tomorrow at the same venue.
As is our custom, we gathered at the Africa Union Square to commemorate ever since the abduction of Itai Dzamara by Zambia PF through the security agents. And so we came together as usual, but something unusual happened. The police tried to detain us, of which we refused to go, and they eventually had to resort to force. And something also that certainly happened while they were leading me away. The protesters, the relatives, and the friends who had come to commemorate the day with us actually followed, and they were singing that song, and then asking, what is we wrong for us to be treated like this?
How did this affect your plans?
Well, I wouldn't say that our plans were disrupted, because in the first instance, what we did today is exactly what Itai stood for. It's exactly the reason why they took him away. And so I'm sure wherever he is, he's a lucky man to see us taking a stand and not flinching in the face of the law enforcement agency.
Any plans for demonstrations in the near future?
Yes, we're actually regrouping tomorrow. We are not looking forward to defer. We are regrouping tomorrow, and the agenda is still the same. We are demanding the release of Itai, at the same time drawing a line in the sand regarding enforced disappearances. That's number one. Number two, we're also registering categorically our displeasure over the way this nation is being run.
That was Patson Dzamara, young brother of abducted political activist Itai Dzamara, on the line from Harare. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from the police. The governor of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, John Mangujka, says cash shortages are expected to end this week. Mangujka was summoned by a parliamentary committee to clarify policy measures of easing cash shortages, increasing industrial capacity, and curbing foreign currency leakages. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera attended the hearing and filed this report from the capital, Harare.
Mangudya told the Parliamentary Finance Committee that the current cash shortages are expected to end after the central bank recently imported $15 million, which is expected to boost money supply. Mangudya said, contrary to widespread belief that the introduction of bond notes was meant to ease cash shortages, the move is intended to boost exports. He said, while the purpose of bond coins was to provide change, bond notes would be used to pay the 5% export incentive to boost production.
The purpose of bond notes is to deal with an incentive for exporters. But I think people are now confusing that the bond notes are coming here to cater for cash shortages. No, there's no relationship. This is an export incentive scheme, and we are so happy about it.
But lawmakers told him that their constituents were confused about the introduction of the bond notes. In response, Mangudya said there was a lot of misinformation on the bond notes.
It's a convertible. If you want to go out, people ask me, what about if I want to go to South Africa? Do I take those bond notes? What do you do with the bond coins right now? Is that you just go to the bank and get your US dollars? I think people, Zimbabweans, are so intelligent. I don't know why we make ourselves so dull when you've been using it every day. Go to Zambia today, Chairman. Zambia, they use Kwacha. When you work for Kwacha, you don't come with it here. What do you do? Go to the bank and get what? US dollars.
He added that the introduction of the bond notes is intended to also curb externalization of money, which he said was rampant. Former Treasury Chief Economist Masimba Manyanya said, while Mangudya's measures were well-intended, Zimbabwe is facing more serious problems, which Mangudya has not addressed in most of his policy measures.
There is no mention in his presentation of issues of governance which are sitting heavily on the economy, which are destroying economic opportunity and causing the same crisis and the uncertainty that Zimbabweans are exposed to today. And I think that is where the root cause of the problems we are facing is. It's in the crisis of governance.
Zimbabweans are facing serious cash problems as some banks are limiting withdrawals to $50 per person a day. The International Monetary Fund says Zimbabwe's economic crisis has been worsened by lack of clarity over the country's black empowerment program and other issues. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Ivan Chifera.
Meanwhile, the proposed introduction of bond notes by the central bank to solve Zimbabwe's cash crunch and stimulate the economy has taken a new twist, with some legal experts calling the move unconstitutional, opening the possibility of a constitutional court showdown. Central Bank Chief John Mangudya said the notes will come in $2, $5, $10, and $20 denominations and backed by $200 million from the African Export-Import Bank. But lawyer advocate Fadzai Mahere says it is worth highlighting that the term bond note is not defined anywhere in the Reserve Bank Act or the Banking Act. Mahere argues that the term bond notes is an invention by the central bank chief and it is fictitious money. Another legal expert and founder of TN Bank, Tawanda Nyambirai, says a bond note has to have an expiry date. Nyambirai tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that it might be premature, though, to critique the bond notes as they have not yet been introduced.
In my respect for submission, the Reserve Bank Act does not have any provision for the issue of bond notes. Bond notes are issued under the Public Finance Act. There are requirements that need to be complied with under the Public Finance Act. Before the issue of the bond note, the president had to give authority to the Minister of Finance. The content of the bond note itself, as far as the legal aspects are concerned, has to be supported by an opinion of the Attorney General. The bond note itself has to have a maturity date. If it doesn't have a maturity date, it must take the conditions needed to be met for it to be acquitted or for it to be redeemed. Those are the requirements that the Reserve Bank or the Minister of Finance will need to comply with. We cannot prejudge them and say they have not complied with them when what we only have now is an announcement of an intention, a wrongly timed announcement, an announcement that could have been done differently and better if the note had to be successful because it requires public buy-in.
So can citizens actually go to the Constitutional Court and challenge the legality of the bond notes should the government not follow some of the steps that you're highlighting here?
In the event that the government proceeds with the introduction of bond notes without complying with the mandatory provisions of the Public Finance Act, it will be possible for citizens to approach the Constitutional Court or even the High Court with a case asking the court to set aside the issue of the bond notes. But like I have said, it's early days. They haven't done anything. They've announced an intention. One needs to wait and see how they will go into execution on the announced intention.
That was lawyer and TN Bank founder Tawanda Nyambirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe have dismissed the government's statement that they have been paid their outstanding salaries as false, saying they were only given money ranging from $150 to $350 per worker last Thursday in what their employer said was to cushion them against economic hardships. Transport Minister Joram Gumbo has urged workers who downed tools last March in protest over unpaid salaries dating back 15 months to return to work, saying $3 million was recently availed to pay their salaries. However, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Workers Union, Kenneth Nemachena, tells reporter Stendekile Mhlanga that $3 million can only cover 1 month's salaries for all NRZ workers.
The employees have not been paid their salary because what we only read from the newspaper that the NRZ has been given $3 million. It is not even enough to pay the NRZ employee salaries. And today I was just asking the human resources manager, what was the purpose of that man? Is it a salary or what? And the answer from the human resources manager was, that one is a cushion as of now, so that it enables the employees to go to work. But what is owed to the employees is very, very far away.
What is your next course of action, seeing that your expectations were not fully met?
Some employees have returned back to work. Some have not returned back to work. And we are trying to engage the management, but we have not yet engaged the management. Because this was, you remember, this was only done last week, Thursday, eh? And today is a Monday. We probably to make a follow-up, because there are some employees who have not been included on the payment list, yeah? Because they paid part of the employees and some were not paid. That is what we are still following up with the employer. And he has not yet received any response from the employer.
That was Kenneth Nemachena, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Workers Union, on the line from Bulawayo with Studio 7 Sister Ndikile Mhlanga. Zimbabwe's Reserve Bank says it did not authorize directors of consumer giant Insco Africa to open offshore accounts uncovered in the ongoing Panama Papers investigation. But Insco says there is no wrongdoing as its conducts with those offshore firms were conducted in accordance with all applicable laws. Studio 7's Ray Choto reports.
Zimbabwe's Reserve Bank says it did not authorize directors of the consumer giant Insco Africa to open offshore accounts uncovered in the ongoing Panama Papers investigations. But Insco says there is no wrongdoing as its conducts with those offshore firms were conducted in accordance with all applicable laws. VOA Zimbabwe is reporting partner with the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, examination of more than 11 million documents from a Panamanian law firm that reveal a global network of secret offshore tax havens. Those documents show Insco Africa directors Zinona Kaudaris and Michael Fowler used lawyers Mossack Fonseca and accountants Northern Witchwood to register Federated Properties Holdings Limited, Skyfox, Akia Aero Limited and Akia Aero Holdings in the British Virgin Islands. In January 2015, Northern Witchwood Senior Corporate and Trust Administrator Sophia Bichol wrote to Mossack Fonseca manager Helen O'Kell, informing her that the funds to be transferred to the firms were the Insco salaries of Caldanaris and Fowler. Offshore bank accounts receiving deposits from money earned in Zimbabwe would violate Zimbabwe exchange control and tax laws if not approved by the central bank. Asked if Caldanaris and Fowler registered such payments, Reserve Bank Governor John Mangunja told VOA in an email statement, quote, According to our records, we do not have any approval for the persons whom you have mentioned, unquote. INSCO Africa Board of Directors Chairman Addington Chinake said all of its financial transfers constituted lawful movement of funds, compliant with all relevant regulations, including those of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. Chinake, who is a senior attorney with Kenden Immerman, told VOA that at no point did INSCO Africa Limited transferred any such of money representing accumulated salaries into any of the entities as alleged. Mossack Fonseca documents show that Caudanaris and Fowler used Commercial Bank of Zimbabwe reference letters to register the offshore firms, identified by the bank as a prestigious unit for the high net worth customers. A Harare lawyer who requested to remain anonymous said the request for reference letters by Northern Witchwood was a procedural move to show that Mossack Fonseca was complying with British Virgin Islands anti-money laundering laws. VOA Zimbabwe called Northern Witchwood director Sean Ferguson Keynes for comment on this story, but his wife Tracy said he was asleep. Additional calls went unanswered. Mossack Fonseca corporate liaison officer Jordan Spencer refused to take questions on Caudanaris and Fowler or on INSCO Africa, saying he was not allowed to discuss the Panama Papers with the media. More than 100 news organizations are examining Panama Papers documents detailing more than 200,000 offshore entities, some dating back to the 1970s. VOA Zimbabwe continues to review documents connecting Northern Witchwood executives Keynes, Ellis, Hest to shell companies linked to hundreds of Zimbabwean clients. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, this is Ray Choto.
The scandal caused by the largest leak ever of data about secret offshore companies enters a new phase Monday when the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists releases to the public a searchable database of documents that reveals the details of more than 200,000 offshore entities and the people in more than 200 countries and territories connected to those accounts. The Panama Papers, as they have been called, are 11.5 million documents belonging to Panamanian law firm Mossack Fonseca. The nearly 40 years' worth of documents show how the firm helped some wealthy people set up offshore firms often used to hide assets and avoid taxes and sanctions. Coming up, Zimbabweans have running battles with riot police over dysfunctional radiotherapy machines. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. With Republicans not exactly united behind Donald Trump and polls showing a majority of voters holding unfavorable views of Democrat Hillary Clinton, Libertarian Party presidential candidate Gary Johnson sees a real opportunity for another choice in the race to be the next leader of the United States. France's leftist government says it will create de-radicalization centers around the country, sinking $45 million into a barrage of new proposals to fight terrorism. And an anonymous bidder paid $17.2 million for a statue of Adolf Hitler at an auction Sunday. The statue is the work of Italian artist Maurizio Catalan and is called Him. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Relatives of cancer patients and health activists today had running battles with riot police as they staged a public protest over dysfunctional radiotherapy machines at Parinyatwa Group of Hospitals. Our correspondent Patricia Mdadigwa has more.
Studio 7 has learned that the radiotherapy machines have not been functioning for almost 10 days now, putting the lives of hundreds of cancer patients at risk. Hospital authorities refused to discuss the matter and referred all questions to Health Minister David Parerenyatwa, who was not reachable for comment as he was said to be attending some meetings. Radiotherapy machines are used for burning cancerous cells to stop the disease from spreading. The protesters, who were egged by lack of action to repair the machines, decided to take matters into their own hands and staged the public protest in Harare, only to be stopped by police in riot gear. One of the protesters, Worship Dumba, who has a relative living with cancer, said he decided to join others in order to force the government to repair the radiotherapy machines.
Since last week, I think that should be on the 28th of last month, the machines broke down. And ever since, the patients are not getting their due treatment, which is supposed to be a daily thing. So now what has actually pushed us here is to actually try to put pressure on the Minister of Health and the government as well to ensure that those machines are repaired as soon as possible. And if possible, new machines should actually be bought because this is a life and death issue.
Evelyn Tachiwona, another demonstrator, said it was high time government is pressured to declare cancer a national disaster. She said the government should put its priorities right as it appears to be neglecting the health sector.
I am participating in this demo because cancer is now a national disaster and a lot of people are dying. So we are asking the government to do something about this, because we find that a lot of money is being used for things which are not relevant.
Lynette Mudehwe, who is the leader of Zimbabwe Activist Alliance, organizers of today's demonstration, said they are unhappy about many issues faced by Zimbabweans, including premature deaths in the country.
We are here to demonstrate our displeasure and disgust at the government of Zimbabwe for its lack of seriousness when it comes to securing, when it comes to reservation and restoration of the lives of people in Zimbabwe. We have got cancer treatment, cancer patients who are dying every day at Parerenyatwa Hospital and in their homes, because the only two radiotherapy machines that are available in Zimbabwe at Parerenyatwa Hospital have been down, they've broken down for the past 10 days. So we are having what we call premature death. And we are saying, as Zimbabweans, as activists, this government must prioritize whatever little resources, it must be channeled to health.
Linda Masarira, director of Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance, said such demonstration would pressurize the government to ensure that the critical cancer machines are functional.
There are only two radiotherapy machines in Zimbabwe, one at Parerenyatwa Hospital and one at Karanda Mission Hospital. It is very critical that this machine has to be operating since it caters for the whole of Zimbabwe. And it is sad to note that the Minister of Health does not take this issue as a matter of priority, which basically means they've got misplaced priorities and do not care about the welfare of Zimbabweans, which is an issue of major concern. And as activists who have said, we can no longer keep silent. They have to do something about it and protect the lives of Zimbabwean citizens, since it is our constitutional right in Section 76 to receive basic health care.
It costs between 3,000 and 4,000 to undergo radiotherapy treatment in Zimbabwe. Most people living under the poverty datum line of about $560 for a family of six living in an urban setup can hardly afford such treatment. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Now we hand you over for a few minutes to join us again in the youth show, Time to Engage.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage. Yesterday, it was Mother's Day and many families celebrated Happy Mother's Day. Today, we have some mail that has come in on our Facebook and also on our WhatsApp, and we are going to read them right now. Mama, Mama. Nancy Nyarimbi says, there are no words to describe how much I love you, Mom. She's the best mom. I love her so much. Thanks, Mom, for being my mom. Tabani Bebe says, this day is very special to me. I have no words for how I can express my love to you, my mom. Thanks for being my mom. I always pray to God, may you live long. May you always be with me. Love you more than my life. Love you, Mom. We have Becky Sipo, who says, Happy Mother's Day to all ladies around the world. Sisters, grandmothers, mothers, we love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Love you to all you all. We have Tusa Kudakwashe, who says, My mother always told me that without discipline, there is no life at all. Also, she works everything, even in the absence of my father. I just want to say, Happy Mother's Day. Your advice is in my heart. Daisy Dowson says, My mom, Rosemary, passed away, but I miss her greatly. She was good to all her children. Emmanuel Gaza says, Happy Mother's Day and to all those who are aspiring to be mothers. Youth, don't forget to do something fantastic for your mom. It's never too late to buy a card. It's never too late to pick a present. Never too late to send her flowers. I am Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage.
Thank you, Chione. In our sports segment, Charles Manyuchi, who defeated Russian Dmitry Maklienko to land the World Boxing Council silver belt, has brought joy to Zimbabweans. Michael Kariate reports.
Manyuchi's followers have gone since Friday when he knocked down Dmitry Maklienko of Russia to land the World Boxing Council silver belt. The Mashingo-born boxer has become a topical issue in Zimbabwe, where quail beds had become a household name. Sports Minister Makosi Ntlongwane said he's happy about Manyuchi's achievement.
I'm over the moon. I'm very, very excited that Manyuchi has done this.
The boxer's sister Jacqueline said Manyuchi is a hero after taking on Dmitry Maklienko with limited training facilities. Manyuchi is expected home this evening after passing through Lusaka, Zambia, where his promoters are based. Also celebrating are the Green Machine of Capes United, who shot to the top of the 16-team Kasolaga Premier Soccer League table after a hard 4-1-0 win over winless Border Strikers. Capes United coach Roy Chitembwe said although they did not win by a higher margin as expected, the 3 points garnered were what they wanted from the match.
Okay, we're quite satisfied, we're quite happy. Though today it wasn't as pretty as would have wanted it to be.
Border Strikers are without a point or a goal in their 5 matches, and coach Saul Chaminuka is honest enough saying they have to move a gear up if they are to survive relegation.
Played well, but not too well, because if we had played well, we could have won the game. What we need to do is go back and work.
Overnight leaders FC Platinum surrendered their lead to Capes United after that goalless draw against Harare City in their fortress of Mandawa Stadium. FC Platinum have the same number of points as the Green Machine, but they trail the former Cup Kings on goal difference. Now to horse racing. Some punters are smiling all the way to the bank after an heralded Rock the Country won the 2,000-meter Castle Tankard at Borodale Racecourse Saturday. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about the intimidation today of several political activists, including Patson Zamara, brother of the leader of Occupy Africa Unity Square, Itai Zamara, who was abducted 14 months ago. And now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabwe's INSCO Africa directors caught up in Panama Papers, a global investigation by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. Police in Harare disrupt a planned prayer meeting for missing political activist Itai Zamara, who was abducted 14 months ago. And the central bank says crippling cash shortages are expected to end in Zimbabwe next week. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Jonga Kandemire.